Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I face my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains and losses, and I've known more joy than hurt as his grace flowed down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and his love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything he is, but the best way that I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. Through it all, God's been good.
Amen. That's all God knows how to be. To his own is good, and I'm glad that he is. Amen. Well, today is Mother's Day, and I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in our congregation. Before you leave today, Mom, the church would like for you to come and get a flower. It's not a lot, but it's our way of saying happy Mother's Day to you. So whether you're a visitor or a member alike, if you're a mother, we'd like for you to stop by and pick out a flower of your choosing. Just as a token of our appreciation of you being in our service today, and to say happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day to all the good mothers in our congregation. Those of you that are watching by live stream, we say happy Mother's Day to moms that are watching as well. This morning, as we have our Bible open to Mark chapter number 7, I want you to turn to Matthew 15 and hold your place. I'm thankful for a little marker that Michael and Kristen gave me a while back. It helps me to just kind of flip back. But you'll have to, if you don't have one of these. I, as the pastor, I'm a little privileged. I have one of these, but just kind of helps you flip back and forth. I like it. But you have to hold your place. But Mark chapter 7, Matthew chapter 15. We're going to take a look at the story, the account that's given in the scripture. We'll start in Mark, and then we'll go to the same account, that's over in Matthew, and we'll kind of finish up there. This is a very interesting account in the Scripture, and I want to hopefully impress upon your heart some truth that'll be helpful to, well, to all of us, but in particular to the mothers that are with us today. These are certainly different times that we live in. I don't think that I'll have to spend any time going into how that the days that we live in are unprecedented. They're certainly perilous times. The Scripture said that in the last days there would be perilous times, and we certainly are living in perilous times in the day and age in which we live. It's a great day to be a parent. Thank God for children. Amen. Thank God for grandchildren. And for some of you, great-grandchildren, and for others, great-great-grandchildren, we thank the Lord for the little children. Children are a blessing from the Lord, and we praise God for them. However, on the flip side of that, you can't be a parent without having problems. Somebody say amen with me. If you're a parent, you're going to have some problems. People just represent problems, whether you're in adult age or whether you're children. People represent a problem. Now, I'm thankful that we don't have to face these problems alone. God has given us some resources that would help us in these times and days in which we live when it comes to parenting, and I want to hopefully draw out a few of those here from this passage of Scripture. Last couple of weeks, I've been doing some reading about this particular individual, this what is coined as a Canaanite, Syrophoenician, this Greek woman, outside the covenant promises. And for those of you who may not be regular Bible readers, she was just outside of the nation of Israel, from which our Messiah came. When he came as Messiah to Israel, but Israel rejected him. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But, and this is where we get in.
Amen.
Amen. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God,
amen,
even to them that believe on his name. And I'm thankful that I know Jesus as my personal Savior. This woman knew a little something about Jesus. Now, she didn't know a whole lot. When you really search it out, you'll find that she knew a little something. And there's some Scripture that lends some information on what little she did know about him. The king of Tyre, and you can find this back in 1 Kings chapter 5. I hope you'll look it up sometime. He loved David. The king of Tyre did. And that area from where this woman was from and resided, well, they were very familiar with David, and no doubt she had heard. The Bible actually says that. If you look down in your Bible, the Bible actually says in verse number 25, she heard of him. And I'm glad for the day I heard of him, amen. I'm thankful for the day that I heard of Jesus, and I know that you are as well. I find it interesting that the way it starts out in verse number 24, it says, and from thence he, meaning Jesus, arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. Say, where in the world is Tyre and Sidon? Well, it's right there in the area that we know today as Beirut, Lebanon. All right? This is the first time that Jesus now has ventured outside of Jewish territory. It's the first time. And so he's ventured outside of Jewish territory. He had not too long ago, back in chapter 10, told his disciples, he said, I want you to go out, but I want you to go, but just to the lost sheep of the house of Israel as you go. And so here's this woman. She lives in this area. She had heard that Jesus was in the area. I don't know what she heard. If you'll sometime in your own personal reading, if you'll look back just a couple of chapters in chapter 5, there was a man who came to Jesus who had a daughter, and his name was Jairus, and his daughter was at the point of death. She eventually ended up dying, and Jesus brought her back to life. Perhaps she'd heard this story. I don't know what she had heard of Jesus. I suspect she heard quite a bit. There's a lot to hear about him, amen. As a matter of fact, there's so much to hear about Jesus. If you'll notice in verse number 24, it's very interesting the way the verse ends. He would have no man know it. He was tired. He had been ministering. He and his disciples had been ministering to people. And so he went outside of the area of ministry there to the Jews, to this border of Tyre and Sidon, and he retired to a house, and he would have no man to know it. He wanted to kind of catch up his disciples on what was going on and what the next steps were. But notice what the next phrase there says. It said he would have no man know it and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Amen. Can I tell you, it's just that way with Jesus. I mean, it just is. When Jesus lives in your heart, you can't hide it. When Jesus is in a church, it can't be hid. You go to a church where Jesus is, and you, listen, it won't take you long to know Jesus is in the house. Amen. In the early church, when those apostles were out ministering for the Lord, the Bible says that those outsiders, they took note of them, that they had been with Jesus. It's just the way Jesus is. Jesus makes such an impact on one's life that it can't be hid. Even when you may try to hide it, when you're ashamed of him, you say, oh, now, preacher, nobody ought to be ashamed of Jesus. Well, I know that. But there are times when folks will be. If we'd be honest, there's probably times in all of our lives that we haven't stood boldly as we should for him. And yet people will know, wait a minute, there's something different about you. Amen. When Jesus takes precedence in your life and resonance through the Holy Spirit in your life, he can't be hid, and I'm thankful for that. So here's the scene. The Lord Jesus steps outside the boundaries of the Jewish area, and he gets into a house kind of to steal away and relax a little bit. But the word got out. His reputation preceded him, all right? And the word got out, Jesus is in town. And my people began to flock to it. I'd like for you to hold your place here and just turn to Luke just for a moment. Luke chapter number 6. There's a statement that I find very interesting. Just in running some references the last week or two about this particular account of Scripture, I ran across this and I thought, that's interesting. How that there were people traveling for miles. And I'm not talking about bus or plane or vehicle, the expressway. These folks were mainly by foot. Now, some of the, maybe those in the upper echelon of life had camels, mules, donkeys that they traveled, but travel wasn't fast to say the least. And yet, in Luke chapter number 6, I want you to notice the scripture in verse number 17. In Luke chapter 6 and verse number 17, I hope you're there, it says, and he came down with them, meaning Jesus, and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast. And here's our little towns, Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. So here's a group of people. They had heard what was going on in the life and ministry of this one that was sent to be the Messiah of Israel. And they went out to see and to hear this new rabbi in town, this man that is the Christ. And they said, we've got to hear for ourselves. We've got to see. And so they traveled from near and far. And they wanted to be in the audience of this one who was the Son of God. They said, oh, if we could just get near, if we could just touch. Right? As you go back to Mark chapter number 7, we find that on this occasion, the Bible says that Jesus actually went to them. Now, there was a time when they had come to him, but now he goes to them. He goes to their town. And when he goes, the Bible says there was a certain woman in verse number 25 of Mark chapter number 7, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. Now, when you really begin to look into what the Scripture's saying here, she had a foul spirit. When we read here later into the message in Matthew chapter 15, the Bible says that she was grievously vexed with the devil. So, well, now, preacher, I don't believe in the devil. Well, listen, there's no way you can look around in our world and not know that there's the devil. And I mean plenty of them, too. There's one Lucifer, there's one Satan, but there's fallen angels, there's ministers of unrighteousness, there's plenty of demons in our world. And they're at work in our land. You look at some of the things that are going on, and I'm not going to take time to enumerate them. You don't have to watch for like 10 minutes of the news, and you'll see, my goodness, there certainly are devils in this world, and they're at work in the lives of people. Now, for those of you that are here, I just want to say something to you if you're a parent, okay? There's two things. If you don't get anything else I say this morning, I pray to God you'd give me your full, undivided attention if you're a parent. Number one, there is a devil. Number two, he's after your children. All right? Number one, there is a devil. Number two, he's after your children. He wants to destroy the lives of our young people. And he is, listen, he has both barrels aimed, and I mean he is hitting with the heavy artillery. That's right. And here this woman came, and she was this mother. This mother, the Bible says she was a certain woman whose young daughter, she was a mother. And she was perplexed. She was burdened. She was hurting. Oh my, how my heart goes out as a parent myself to those of you that may be sitting here and your heart is heavy. Your heart is burdened. You're hurting. Your child is wayward, or your child is in trouble, or your child is in a situation and you're wondering, what can I do? What can I do? There's a great big world out here that's sucking up our young people. What can I do? This woman, no doubt, was thinking the same thing. She lived in an area that was known for their idolatry. She was known as a Canaanite. And what a people that were under a curse, and they were known for their idolatry. But yet this woman had come to the place, if you'll notice in verse number 25, she heard of him, but she didn't just hear of him. I like what the next verse says, and she came to him. Amen. She didn't just hear and say, well, I sure would hope that this Jesus that is doing things for other people would do something for me. No, she said, I am going to him. It means something to me to get to him because I love my daughter. And I'm not going to just let up. I'm not going to give up. Thank God for parents who don't just say, well, you know, I throw my hands up. What can you do? Here's a woman that said, I am going to fight. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get my child to Jesus. I'm going to go to him that can take care of the problems that I have in my home. Thank God Jesus can take care of the problems of the home. Now Jesus, I said, if he's in the church, he can't be hid. If he's in your life, he can't be hid. But I want to also tell you that when Jesus is a part of your home, when Jesus is the Lord of your home, he can't be hid. Amen. He can't be hid. Everyone will know there's something different about that home, about that family. Now this woman, she came, and the Bible says when she heard of him in verse 25, she came and she fell at his feet. She humbled herself. Listen, this is a move of desperation. This is a move of desperation. I don't know how many people were in that home. This is not like they met somewhere out in a secluded area and she fell before him alone. We know the disciples were there, as we shall see here in just a moment. I don't know whose home this was. The Bible doesn't give me the liberty to say. I don't know how many people were in this home. This would be a hard thing to do, to walk into a room of strangers and just to fall down at a man's feet and say, listen, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. My daughter's in a bad way. And if somebody doesn't do something, I'm going to lose her. Thank God for a parent like that. Thank God for a mother like that. The Bible says that she came and she heard of him, and she came and she fell at his feet. Verse number 26 said, just so you know, this woman was not a Jew. This woman was not part of the covenant people. This woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him. Now, I want you to take very close note to this word here, because it is it's written in such a way that it's a repeated action. In other words, she just kept pleading and pleading and pleading and pleading and pleading. She didn't just go in and fall at his feet and say, Jesus, help me. No. As we shall see in just a moment, she got to the place where it became a nuisance to those around. But it didn't become a nuisance to Jesus. Amen. She was pleading and pleading. She was saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me. Help me. God, do something in my daughter's life. God, I need you to come to the rescue. God, I need you. I can't do this without you. She just kept on and on to the point. Notice what the scripture says here. Notice what it says. It says that she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Now, I want you at this point to turn to Matthew 15, and let's see as she besought him what was taking place. In Matthew chapter 15, we have the same account, but Matthew gives us a little background, a little more background into it. Matthew 15, look at verse number 21. The Bible says it talks about Jesus departing from the and going to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. There's a woman of Canaan, which came out of the same coast, and she cried unto him. So here's a woman that's moved. She's crying. She's repeating herself. She's pleading unto the Lord, and she says unto him, "Have mercy." Now I want you to notice this next little phrase, "on me." I tell you, this right here, when I read this, it just broke me. Thank God for mothers who just intercede and they see, you know, when my child's hurting, I'm hurting. Amen. She didn't say have mercy on my daughter. As a matter of fact, if you look on down in verse number 25, the Bible says she came and she worshiped him saying, "Lord, help me." Two times. Have mercy on me. Lord, help me. Now, it could be that she felt kind of responsible being a Canaanite, being involved in idol worship. I don't know. Or it could be that, and I believe it's this, it might be a little of both. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But I know this. I know that she was so moved. She was so touched by the need of her daughter that she was saying, "God, I'm hurting. God, I'm hurting. My daughter's hurting, and so I'm hurting." Can I tell you that any parent that is a true parent knows exactly what I'm talking about? Amen. When you watch your little babies, when you watch those little children, when you watch them hurt, it hurts you. When you watch your children, doesn't matter how old they get. Listen, once a parent, always a parent. That's one thing you never will cease to be. Once you become a parent, you're always a parent. And when your children rejoice, you rejoice with them. And when they sorrow, you sorrow with them. And when they hurt, you hurt with them. And she was hurting. Why? Her daughter was hurting. And she was saying, "God, help me. God, have mercy. I have no merit to bring. Jesus, I have nothing to bring to you but a broken and a contrite heart. My daughter's in trouble. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me." The Bible says in that house, and again, I don't know how many were in there, that when she cried unto the Lord in verse number 22 of Matthew 15, she said, "My daughter is grievously vexed." What wording to let us know of the condition that this young girl was in. Brethren, I want to tell you, our young people, many, many of our young people are grievously vexed in a day in which we live. And we need some parents to get involved. We need some people of righteousness. We need some people with a prayer line to get involved with heaven and pray hell off their back. Listen to me, brethren. Don't you ever give up on your children. I'll say it to the day that God takes my last breath away. As long as you have breath, you have hope. Don't you ever give up on your children. Don't you ever get, you say, "Preacher, they didn't grown up and gone on, moved out." Don't you ever give up on your children. Don't you ever give up on them. As long as there's breath in my soul, there's hope in my soul. And as long as there's hope in my soul, I'm going to keep carrying my children to the throne of God's grace. There's not a day in my life that I can remember when I didn't call out the name of my children and their families to God. Brethren, let me tell you, prayer gets hold of heaven, and when heaven gets hold of our children, things pick up, amen. She went to Jesus and she said, "Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy on me. God, I don't have anything to offer. I'm just broken. I'm a Canaanite. I'm outside the covenant promises. I don't have the oracles of God. I'm without hope. I need some help. God, help me." You ever been there? Terrible place to be. But thank God there's help and there's hope. Jesus in verse number 23 is very interesting. The Bible says he answered her not a word. You ever prayed and it felt like that God wasn't listening? It's a terrible way. Now, I didn't say God wasn't listening. I said, have you ever prayed and it was though God wasn't listening? The ear of the Lord is open to the righteous. God is listening. So I didn't say that God wasn't listening. I said there can be times that we pray and it feels like God's not listening. She asked the Lord for help. He answered her not a word. He didn't say anything. I wonder how that made this lady feel. She had heard all these things about Jesus. Perhaps she heard, as I said, about Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue who came to Jesus. Perhaps she had heard some things. And when she heard, she thought, well, surely if Jesus will help this one and Jesus will do this, if I could just get my daughter to Jesus. And wouldn't you know that she heard that he was in town. And she got some inside information that he was at this house. And she said, that's where I'm going. And she made what we used to call down south a beeline. Amen. She went straight to the house. And when she got there, she pled her case and Jesus didn't even answer. That had to be rather deflating. But it didn't stop her. Amen. Notice what the scripture says. In verse number 23 it says, But he answered not a word. And then his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. I want you to notice something that, and again, I don't know, but it says his disciples, look at the wording now. It says that his disciples came. I wonder if Jesus didn't answer and just walked away. I don't know. But I know this, when the disciples came, the disciples seem to have a problem with this. Have you noticed? Sometimes people can be heartless. I mean, cruel. I've been cruel. I don't want to be cruel. I don't. But you know what's within us? If we're not careful, we can be cruel. We can be incompassionate, uncompassionate. Just where we don't care what people's going through. I don't want to be like that. God, help me not to be like that. There's people in the circle of my life that are hurting. They're going through some real trials in their life. I don't want to be to where I just don't care. All is well with me and my wife and Bob and his wife, us four no more, so we're just a happy big... No. No, we ought to be sensitive and caring to what other people are going through in their lives. And brethren, there's people all around us. Now listen to me now. There's people in the sphere of your influence. There's people in the circle of your influence that are hurting. You may know little, you may know much about it, but I'm telling you right now, we live in a world that is hurting. It's hurting. The scripture says that the disciples came, and I want you to underline this, or at least make a mental note of it. Their answer to this was, look at it, send her away, for she crieth after us. She's becoming a nuisance. She keeps on saying, get him to do something. He didn't answer me. Get him to do something. He won't talk to me. You're his disciples. You talk to him for me, right? You see what's happening here? If you'll turn back just a page to chapter 14, I'll show you something that really concerns me. And I pray that Fellowship Baptist Church will never become this, but you know what? We're not all that. I thank God for Fellowship Baptist Church. To me, it's the greatest church that there is. But we have a lot of work to do. Amen. We haven't arrived. Your pastor hasn't. I can't speak for you, but I just want to let you know we've got some work to do. We've got some growing to do. We need to let God continue to work in our lives and not get satisfied with where we are. I thank God I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not where I want to be either in this thing. Look in chapter 14 of Matthew. Look, if you would, in verse number 15. In chapter 14 of Matthew, verse number 15, it says, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. The disciples want to send people away. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Now, listen to me. Listen, I'll say this. I've got a couple more points, and I'll be through. But I want you to listen to me. Sending people away is not the answer. People need help. And God has given us some resources. We don't have all the answers, but we have a book that does. I'm telling you, the Bible, brethren, the Bible is the Word of God. And the Word of God can help any situation. If I didn't believe that, I mean this, God is my witness. I'd quit today. But I'm glad I don't have to stand before you and say, well, God can do most things. I hope God will do this. I don't have to preach that kind of way. I can stand before you and say, God does all things well. I can stand before you and say, there is nothing impossible with God. For with God, all things are possible. I don't know what you're going through. Don't have to know, but I know this. My God can help you. So the disciples, as we go back to chapter 15 and we look at a couple of more thoughts as we close and bring this thing to a close, the disciples had gotten into this thing to where they got so caught up in what Jesus was doing in their life and teaching them and what they were learning and what they were doing that they just thought, you know, send them away. The very reason Jesus was teaching them these things and the very reason that Jesus is working in my life and yours is so we can take what he puts in us and allow him to work through us to help others. Amen. My goodness, if it's just for us, I've said it often, I'll say it again, God will give through you what he will not give to you. Sometimes what God does for you is not just for you. It's for that person that God's going to bring into your life down the road that you're going to be able to use that to help them. And so don't think just because God gave you something, it's over right there. God planted that in you to sow something in you that could help down the road. She said, Lord, have mercy on me. Thou son of David. Verse number 22 of Matthew 15. He didn't answer. And then the disciples came in verse 23 and said, send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered and said, things are picking up. He didn't answer the first time. But now he's answering. And he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She knew she didn't qualify. But it didn't stop her. See, there was something deep into this woman. This is a mother's love. This is why mothers are different. You listening? This is why that person you call mother is different. Young people, I pray you'd listen to me this morning. I pray that if you don't see anything else in this message this morning, you'd say you need to be thankful to God for your mother. The many hats, the many chores, the many tasks, the many things that a mother does, thank God for mothers. Thank God for the impact that they've made. Thank God for them. This mother would not be turned away. The scripture says in verse number 24 that when Jesus said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse number 25 says, then she came and worshipped him saying, Lord, help me. You see what she done? She dropped, thou son of David. She knew she wasn't on Jewish ground. She was thinking perhaps she could get audience with him if she used that, but it didn't work. And now she just gets real with him. You listening? Lord, help me. I don't have anything. I don't have anything. I just need you to help me. I don't have any merit to stand on. Let me just say something here now. You say, well, I have you to know I'm a Baptist. You don't have anything to stand on. I'm a church member. You don't have anything to stand on. I'm a Freeman. You don't have anything to stand on. Amen. I'm a Thompson. You don't have anything to stand on. I'm a Ward. You don't have anything to stand on. We all come to Jesus on level ground. I'm just an old sinner. God, I don't have anything to offer. Please help me. I'll stoop down as low as I need to stoop. I'll humble myself. I'll bring myself under your word. God, help me. I come to you as I am, presenting my need as it is, and recognizing you are who you are. God, help me. Can I tell you, when people come to God that way, that gets God's attention. It does. Again, she said in verse 25, Lord, help me. She didn't say, help my daughter. She said, help me. She was so intertwined with the need of her child, she said, help me by helping my daughter. Verse number 26, he said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Don't have time to go into this, but to say this. This is a relation between Israel and the Gentiles. The Jews called them dogs. Now, I didn't say Jesus did. As a matter of fact, when Jesus used this word, he actually uses the word little puppy. Don't have time to go into that, but I'm telling you what Jesus is doing. He's softening the blow, and he said, I want you to know something here. All right? I want you to know you're standing. You have no standing. And then he said this. He said in verse number 26, it is not meat. It's not good. It's not proper to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. I've come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I've come as the Messiah to the Jews. And that at that time in his ministry is where he was. But notice what she did. And she said in verse number 27, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Wow. Wow. What's she saying? I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. God, just give me a scrap. Just give me a crumb. Just give me a little something. God, just do something. We live in America, the land of the free, the home of the brave. I thank God for America. I'm a very patriotic person. But I want to tell you something. God doesn't owe us anything. I think sometimes we think because we live in America, God owes us something. You know, our forefathers framed the Constitution by the Scripture and on the principles of God's truth. And I thank God that they did. But that doesn't mean God owes us anything. God is a debtor to no one. And so we've got, seems like a nation walking around with their chest poked out. God do this, and God do that, and God do this, and God do that. We are Americans. That means nothing when it comes to getting God's attention. Well, we're a Christian nation. Well, I've changed that. We used to be. And I'm not going to get into that. America's not a Christian nation. It was founded to be. But America is no longer a Christian nation. So what did this woman do? She came and she said, I don't have anything to offer. I'm just going to make my need known. Have mercy on me. Have mercy. Parents, as we bring this to a close, I don't know where you are. Mom, listen to me. I don't know what's going on in your family. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know. You may not even have children here this morning. You may not even have children, period. But this God, this Lord Jesus that looked at this woman and said what I'm getting ready to read to you, he'll say it to you. He'll meet you at the place of your need and he'll help you. She said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. She said, I'm not worthy. I'll take just a crumb. God, I just need some help. Do something in my life. Help my little daughter. And Jesus in verse number 28 said, he answered and said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Only two times in the Bible Jesus ever told someone that. The centurion and this woman. The people he healed from a distance. The scripture says here, he said, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Isn't that something? You say, now, preacher, do you believe that? With every fiber of my being, I believe this book. This book changed my life, just like it changed that little girl's life. Just like if you're here and you're saved, it changed your life. This book changes lives. God's Word changes lives. So here we are on this Mother's Day, 2021. Just come through a worldwide pandemic. The world is spinning out of control. Our world's gone crazy. I mean, just absolutely crazy. The devils of hell have unleashed their ungodliness on our culture and our world. And we have a generation of people that are saying, leave us alone. We don't want anything to do with your God, your Bible, your religion. Just leave us alone. What are we going to do? The greatest thing we can do with any problem, with any situation we have in life, is what this woman did. Get it to Jesus. Get it to Jesus. As we stand to our feet, There may be somebody here today that you heard of him. You heard, I heard that Fellowship Baptist Church has something going on. That Jesus is there. I've heard that Jesus meets with those people down at Fellowship Baptist. You heard of him. And now you've come. I'm glad you did. Maybe those of you that are watching by live stream, that's your lot. You heard that Jesus was meeting with the people. Can I tell you, Jesus will meet with any people that will meet in his name. Amen. And you came. Would you present your need to him? What is your need? This woman's need was her daughter was grievously vexed. That may be your need. Maybe you have a child that's gone wayward. I don't know. You may not even have children, but you have a need. You heard of him. You've came to him. Will you fall at his feet and say, Lord, help me? And present your need unto him and say, I'm not worthy, but God, I believe that you can meet my need. Help me. Would you do that this morning? What is your need? As we bow our heads together and the pianist begins to play,